But Isaiah chapter 38, verse number 1, Bible says, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness, I said in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord, in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. I reckon till morning that as a lion so will he break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee, as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me, therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. For Isaiah had said, Let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. Hezekiah also said, What is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? And let's pray. Father, we do love you. Lord, I think of David and Ashley and Titus, Lord, this morning, and just what they're going through, and not only them, but also their church family there. And Lord, I pray that you just help them and undergird, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would just give them a peace, that you have everything under control, and that you alone, Lord, this is something that alone is in your control. And Lord, I pray that you just give them a special grace, a special mercy, Lord, and just be with them. Lord, I pray for the services today. Lord, I pray for this Sunday school service. And Lord, I pray that you just be honored in anything and everything I say. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you help me to be used by you this morning. Help Pastor and the other Sunday school teachers, help the Sunday morning service to follow, and just all of the junior churches that will be going on. Lord, I pray that you just be honored. Lord, I pray that souls be saved, help lives to be changed. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. We see here in Isaiah chapter 38, obviously in verse number 1, the Bible tells us what's going on here. In those days, Hezekiah was sick unto death. Okay, and the prophet Isaiah, and if you've noticed through this, while we've been talking about Isaiah and Hezekiah, they do have a good relationship. Hezekiah and the man of God have a good relationship here. But Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. So not good tidings, not a good prognosis. Basically, the doctor came to Hezekiah and said, You better get stuff ready because you're about to die. Okay? Now, nobody wants to hear those words. Nobody wants to hear that prognosis from your doctor. Okay? This is the age group that sometimes you're going to hear those things. Set your house in order. You've got 6 months to live. And the Bible doesn't really say how long Hezekiah had to live here. We do not know how long Hezekiah had to live, but the Bible says he was sick unto death. So he was about ready to die, and then Isaiah comes to him and says, hey, set your house in order. You're about ready to die. And Hezekiah, for some reason, does not want to die. Okay? He does not want to see death. Now, I don't know. I mean, you know, and I think we're going to look at this later. This kind of actually ties into what Pastor was talking about on Wednesday night. If you're here Wednesday night, if you were not here Wednesday, I would highly suggest you get that message on Wednesday night. Ecclesiastes is kind of a different book, but Pastor explained it. I mean, I don't know how you could explain Ecclesiastes in a much better way than was explained Wednesday night. But the shortness of life and what you accomplish in life. And I think in some ways Hezekiah is looking back on his life and he's like, man, I didn't really get everything done in life I wanted to. Okay? And it's kind of like my week this week. You know, you kind of looked back and like, man, I did not get done this week what I wanted to. Or most of my days, you know, it's I did not get done today what I wanted to. You know, you wish you had, you know, another 15. There's some days in life that you just wish you had another 15 hours. I just need another, or weeks that you just, I need this extra. Well, I think that's the way Hezekiah is looking at his life. He's like, man, there's some things I still need to do. And we're going to look at those this morning. But I want you to go to 2 Chronicles. We're going to go back again and look at this again in the other two spots in the Bible. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. It's interesting, you know, Hezekiah, the Bible says, then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. And we see there a short prayer, pretty much. And the Bible says, and Hezekiah wept sore. Then the Bible says, then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah. Well, if you, one of these, and we'll look at it here in just a moment. One of these, Isaiah didn't even get out of the palace. That's how quick God responded. Now, I wish God, sometimes, you know, you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray and it seems like heaven's brass and your prayers just don't go through. But in this case, God answered right away. Let's look in Hezekiah. I said it again. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse number 24. Verse 24. In those days, Hezekiah was sick to the death and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. All right, let's go to 2 Kings. And the sign that we see in 2 Chronicles was on the sundial, where the time that it said on the sundial, God actually moved that back 10 degrees. Okay, and that's the sign that that God gave him. 2 Kings chapter number 20, verse number 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, and I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And then Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. And they took it and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, this sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he hath spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees, or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, it is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. This morning, I just want to challenge you on a thought, and I don't want to come across as, I don't know, I don't want to come across as doomsday, okay? But this is the senior saints class, okay? And I'm not trying to be, doomsday and, you know, set your house in order. Your time's limited. But in the reality, okay? Do a reality check here. Seriously, your time, my time is limited too. I'm not saying that my time's not limited. But do a reality check. And what I want you to just think about is look back on your life and look at possibly how much time that you have left. You know, God only promises, and he doesn't, I say promise, he says man gets 70. So if you're 70, God owes you nothing. And remember what I said, I think I said this last week, God doesn't owe us anything, period. I mean, God can take all of our lives right now and he owes us nothing. But he said he'll give us 70. So if you're 70, it could take your life any moment. Okay? Now, like I said, I'm not trying to be, you know. But you know what? I'm 28. See, everybody hates me now. I'm 28, and honestly, God could take my life right now. And he would be perfectly just and perfectly right in doing so. All right? But at the same time, you know, you folks have lived life. And you've seen a lot more things in life than I have. And you've been able to accomplish a lot more things in life than I have. And I don't know how much time you have left. I don't know how much time I have left. And as I was studying for this, I really got to me thinking, how much time do I have left? What if I could accomplish something? There's a list. They call it, what's a list? Bucket list. If I knew I had a week to live, what would I want to accomplish in 1 week? If I had a month to live, what would I want to accomplish in 1 month before my life is over? If I knew I had 10 years to live, that's a little bit larger. And I'd say most of us in here, we've probably got 10 years to live. What would you want to accomplish in those 10 years? What are you laughing at? Man. Okay, but seriously. All right? But listen, Hezekiah is at this spot in his life. He is sick unto death. Okay? There's not a good prognosis for Hezekiah. It's not looking good. It's not a good outlook for him. So I want to just mention a few things this morning. First of all, God added to his life 15 years. So that's a positive thing, okay? Now, does God do that to everybody? No, he doesn't. A lot of saints in our church have passed away, and God has saw fit not to add to their life 15 years. Now, did they even pray for 15 years? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe they didn't want to live anymore. You know, at some point, I think you get so frustrated with the world and frustrated with you not being able to do what you want to do that it's better to go to heaven, okay? But Hezekiah, for some reason, he decided that he wanted to live longer, okay? And I don't know how, I should have probably looked. I don't know how old Hezekiah is at this point in his life. But Hezekiah prayed to God, and God answered his prayer. And God gave him 15 years, okay? Let me say this morning. If you're not dead yet, which you're not because you're all sitting here, you know God still has something for you to do. I'm just going to say that. God still has something for you to do. I don't know what it is. You may not know what it is. But God still has something for you to do. God still had something for Hezekiah to do. Now, did Hezekiah accomplish that in his life? In those 15 years, I don't know. We see later that Hezekiah screwed up in those 15 years. Okay, he messed up. But did Hezekiah accomplish what God wanted him to do in that 15 years? I don't know. Okay, but if you're still alive, God still has something for you to do. Let me say this. If you notice in the prayer, let's go to, are you in 2 Kings? Is that where you're at right now? Let me get back there because it's in 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter number 20. It's in 2 Kings and it's in Isaiah, but it's not in 2 Chronicles. 2 Kings chapter number 20. I believe it's in 2 Kings. Yes, verse number 3. Look at verse number 3. Here's the second statement I want to make. First statement, it says, if you're not dead yet, God still has something left for you to do. Second statement, we're going to take from chapter 20, verse number 3. Bible says, this is Hezekiah's prayer to God. I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. All right? So Hezekiah prays and he says, God, remember how I've honored you. Remember how I've walked with you. Remember how I've tried to do what you want me to do. So here's the second thing I want to say this morning. In order to die a good death, and I think it's important to die a good death, but in order to die a good death, I believe it's important that you live a good life. In order to die a good death, I believe it's important that you live a good life. Okay? And I believe that's taught through the Bible. There's principle after principle that teaches that. Okay? You want to be remembered. Do you want to be leave a lasting impression? You lead a good life. You live a good life. So in order to die a good death, you know what Hezekiah said? He said, God, remember how I've served you with my life. Remember how I've honored you. Remember how I tried to please you. And I didn't really see where he's asked God for 15 years. Does he? Not in that prayer that I see. He said, God, remember how I tried to... And God said, God saw his tears and God saw him pray. And God said, I'm going to give you 15 more years. Okay? So those two statements, if you're not, you know, if God hasn't taken you home yet, then God still has something left for you to do. To die a good death means you need to live a good life. Now, I know if God looked down and said and saw Hezekiah and, oh, he's going to just live a wicked life the rest of his life, I don't think God would have given him 15 years. But Hezekiah said, God, you remember how I did this? All right? So let me ask you this question, and then we're going to kind of dive into this. Why are you still here on this earth? Why am I? This is personal. Why does God still have me here today? Why didn't I? I mean, I told you a couple weeks ago, I flipped my tractor over. And I'm not kidding. That's not usually a very good thing for you physically. God could have taken my life. Just like that. But God chose not to. Okay? I do stuff. There's stuff I do. And other men in here, it's, you know, every part of our daily lives involves a certain amount of, if God wanted to, he could take your life. One thing fall or one thing malfunction and God can have your... Okay, you know, everybody, you're getting in an automobile, okay, a 2,500-pound piece of metal with an engine, and do you know how many parts on that thing can go wrong on your way home? Not to discourage you, but seriously. Do you know how fragile your life hangs in the balance? It does. Very fragile. Okay? My daughter, okay, I'm just using personal, I try to use personal illustrations, okay? I'm not, you know, my daughter fell a couple weeks ago. Do you know, I mean, so quickly, 5 years old, you know, that type of fall, you know the reason they took her to Riley is because that type of fall and the height she fell from and where she hit her head is not good most of the time. People die from falling less than that height. Okay? God could have taken her life. And you know what? He would have been perfectly just and perfectly right in doing so. I told my wife, and this is kind of a side thing. We were out there when we were out there, and it's never really hit me until the other day. You know how Abraham had to take Isaac up on the mountain and he had to offer Isaac? Now, did he actually have to give his son up? No. But he had to be willing. He had to accept the fact that he would give his son to Isaac. You know, I never thought about it until I wouldn't have thought about it. We were out there. She's laying in my wife's arms. She's unconscious, you know, not breathing good at all. And we prayed and we said, Lord, and I didn't really think about it as I was praying, but it was in my heart and it was in my wife's heart. We said, you know, God, she is in completely in your hands. We trust you to do with her whatever you want to do with her. And I never really thought about it till later. But you know, I think maybe God, I wonder if God, that was my Isaac. You know what I mean? Wonder if I would have been like, no, God, you can't have her, and all of a sudden you get bitter at God. Wonder if God would have been like, okay, then I'm going to take it. I don't know. We'll only find that out in heaven, okay? But, you know, there's things in life, you know, the brevity of life, the just shortness of life, things can happen so fast. So don't count on tomorrow, all right? Tomorrow is never promised. We are never promised tomorrow. The only day that we are ever promised was yesterday, all right? And that's because it was yesterday, all right? All right, so the brevity of life. Why are we still on earth? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 38. We're going to look at two things that Hezekiah said, the reason that he was still on earth. Isaiah chapter 38. It's interesting here. After Isaiah comes to Hezekiah, he tells him a few things. He tells him that you're going to get 15 years and the sundial is going to go back 10 degrees. And then Hezekiah, starting in verse number 10, this is something that Hezekiah says. These are the words of Hezekiah. All right, so why are we still on the earth? Why are we still on earth? I want you to look, first of all, we're not going to reread all of this. I want you to look at verse number 16. Bible says, O Lord, these are Hezekiah's words, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit, so wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Now listen to this. I believe this is reason number one. For the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. Look at the first statement, verse number 19. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. What's one reason that I believe that all of us are still here on this earth, despite your age, and that is to bring glory and honor to God. It's to bring glory and honor to God. You know what Hezekiah said here? He said very simply, God, if I'm dead, I can't praise you. God, if I'm dead, I can't worship you. God, if I'm dead, I cannot bring honor and glory to your name. So very simply, God wants you and me to bring glory and honor to him, okay? You know, you've seen a lot of things in your life. And if you would take time and you would go back, I understand. There's sometimes, you know, I understand why we don't do testimony things a lot of times. But you know what you ought to do? You know, and we're going to get to this. Tell the younger generation about the things that you saw God do in your generation. I didn't see this building here, this main auditorium. I didn't see this start. I wasn't there in Brother Swaby's garage. I wasn't there. So I don't know those things. You know, one of the things that when the children of Israel got away from God, it was because the older generation did not tell the younger generation the things that God did in Egypt, the miracles, the plagues, how God parted the Red Sea. They didn't tell the younger generation those things. And they didn't bring honor and glory to God, so they lost those things. You know what God wants for all of us, myself included, is to bring glory and honor to God. Hey, be willing to share things that God's done in your life that would bring honor and glory to God. Why would God leave you here if all you're going to do is complain about him? Well, God's just not been fair to me. God hasn't treated me right. God, what? And God's want to leave you here to be a blessing to the younger generation? Probably not. I don't see 15 years in your future. Not just using Hezekiah's illustration. Sorry. See, like I said, I'm just being down gloomy today. It's rainy. No, but seriously, you know what I'm saying though? Why would God keep you here if you're not doing anything for him? Is your life, if the way you live your life right now, is that honoring to God? Is the, and Like I said, I can die today. I could walk out and all of you would outlive me. But is the way I'm living, is it honoring and glorifying God? So I believe Hezekiah understood that. It's interesting, though, after God healed Hezekiah, and I think it's in 2 Kings chapter 20, the Bible says that God left Hezekiah to try him to see what was in his heart. After that, we're going to see here, and we're not going to read the whole story, we don't have time. But Hezekiah, somebody heard he was sick, so they sent him a consolation or whatever you say that. They sent him a gift, so basically a get-well gift, hope you get feeling better. So Hezekiah thought, well, that's pretty nice. So I'm going to invite this man and all of his people to come to my house and look at all the things. Well, isn't it odd that this man was from Babylon and the country that conquered Israel and Judah after that was Nebuchadnezzar, which was from Babylon? And God said, I'm going to leave you and I'm going to let you. I gave you 15 years. Now listen to this, folks. Listen, maybe God's given you another extension of grace in your life, but he also wants to try you to see what's in your heart. What are you going to do with those extra years? What are you going to do with that extra time? You know what Hezekiah did? He brought all these people and he showed them everything. All of his money, all of his armament, all of his soldiers, everything. Isaiah comes to him and says, Hezekiah, what'd you show those guys? He said, I showed them everything. There wasn't anything. And he was proud about it. I showed them all my stuff. Did you get that? All of my things. Not the things that God had given him. All of my things. And Hezekiah said, your sons will be carried away into captivity by that nation. You will lose everything that you showed them. Well, what did he show them? Everything. So he lost it. Within, I think it was two generations, basically, he lost it. Okay? So don't get, if God gives you an extra amount of measure of grace in your life, don't get puffed up about it. Okay? Be careful about that. The second thing, and I want to hit this real quickly. The second thing, look at verse number 19. In Isaiah chapter 38, verse 19. The Bible says, the living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. Why are you still on earth? Because God wants you to invest in the next generation. God wants you to invest in the next generation. Well, I'm older, Brother Chad. I can't do as much. But you know what? You've got wisdom. Isn't it true what Pastor said the other night? Once you finally get wise enough to probably actually live life the way it needs to be lived, you're too tired to do it, and you're incapable of doing it. Isn't that so true? You know, everybody goes into marriage. Oh, this is going to be great. I know how to do this. But, you know, after 50 years, you probably actually know how to have a happy marriage. Isn't that true? I mean, well, it's probably true in my life. I don't know. I mean, we have a happy marriage. Don't get me wrong. It's just, you know, I think after probably 45 years, you look back and you've gone through things and you've seen things and you really understand what investing in that other person's all about. But it only happens after it's about over. But invest in the next generation. Hezekiah says something very sad. He says it in 2 Kings and in Isaiah. Look at verse number 5. Chapter 39. Sorry, I wrote that down wrong. Chapter 39, verse number 5. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Get this statement, and I don't understand this completely. Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. He said, moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. Hezekiah sins, and he shows the men from Babylon everything. And Isaiah comes to him and says, Hezekiah, this is what's going to happen to you. And he says, well, I'm glad it's not going to happen in my lifetime. Yeah. Too bad for my kids, but I'm glad God's going to be good to me. What? You're happy? He's like, good is the word of the Lord. Oh, that's good. That's good. Now, if he knew what his sons was going to be, he maybe thought it was good. I don't know. But he said, that's good. You know what? I don't believe, I'm not sure that Hezekiah, remember what I said at the beginning of this? Wonder what Hezekiah saw in his life that he had fell short at and that he wanted to make right. I think he didn't, I don't think he invested in the next generation the way he should have. If you read, and I don't have time this morning, go to 2 Kings or 2 Chronicles and read about Manasseh, the next son in line. Wicked. You talk about wicked. I would say Manasseh was more wicked than Ahab. Wickedness. I mean, witchcraft. I mean, made his son, burnt his son as a sacrifice to a god. I mean, you go to the debauchery. He's killing innocent people all through the city. The Bible says he was killing innocent people. People that had done nothing, just kill them. I mean, a wicked. And that was Hezekiah's son. At some point, Hezekiah did not invest in the next generation the way he should have. All right? So invest in the next generation. Let me just say a few things here. We need an older generation to build a relationship with a younger generation and be able to impart truth to them. That's very important. We need an older generation to build a relationship. Sometimes I'm afraid we've got you got the senior saints and you've got the young adults and you've got the teenagers, and they're three separate categories. What happens is, you know, the older folks have all the wisdom, the younger folks have the strength, but they're never put together. They're never put together. And we need an older generation to take your wisdom and to impart it. Well, they don't want that truth. I hear this. Well, they just don't want to listen to me. Okay, let me just say this. In order for somebody to listen to you, you have to invest in that young person. You've heard this statement. People do not care how much you know until they know how much you care. People do not care how much you know until they know how much you care. When was the last time you done something for one of these young people? Not to beat them over the head with something that they're doing, but to just give them an attaboy. Hey, I'm proud of it. You know, spend some money. Go get them something. I'm just giving you practical stuff this morning, okay? These young ladies that, you know, some of you older ladies look at and, well, they just shouldn't dress that way. Why don't you maybe, instead of bash them on the head about it, go do something for them. You have to build. You know why Jeff Reiser, and he's not here this morning, if you're ever out there in the back and Jeff Reiser gets onto a bus kid, Brother Jeff can, and there's a lot of them, honestly, and I'm not just saying this, we can rip their faces. If they're doing something wrong, we can get them to straighten up and to obey us. Do you know why? Because we have a relationship with them. Well, I've had people come to me, Brother Chad, I was sitting beside somebody in church and I told them they weren't doing what was right, and I told them that they needed to sit up and straighten up and stop doing that, and they just looked at me and bucked. Was that right on their part? No. But do you know anything about that person? Do you know where they live? Do you know their home life? Do you know what they went through this week? When was the last time you bought them a cheeseburger? I spend a lot of money at McDonald's. A lot of it's not for me. When was the last time you bought a candy bar for them? Said, hey, I appreciate you coming, being faithful. You have to build a relationship. You do. You have to build a relationship with them. You know what? There's men in this church, and you know the men that have affected me the most? I'm just going to say this, are the ones that have taken time to spend time with me. I'll listen to those. There's men right now in this room. You come up to me and say, hey, I've noticed this in your life. You know what? Yes, sir. I'm going to fix that. There's others, and I'm not being disrespectful. There's others that come up to, you know, you kind of blow other people off. Oh, okay, whatever. I mean, seriously, I do. Is that me, Brother Chad? I don't know. Is it? It's quiet, and that's fine. I just want you to think about that. Are you building a relationship, or is it just that, well, they're not doing what's right, and we just got to fix that? No, build a relationship with them. Invest in the next generation. You got time left. What are you doing with it? Are you bringing honor to God? Are you investing in the next generation? Instead of getting mad at all these, you know, the young adults my age that are just now coming in, instead of getting mad at them, you know, hey, we'd like to have you over to our house for supper. Now, you know, remember that they do live, I say, a busier life. No, I think you guys live as busy. Everybody lives a busy life. Remember they got kids. Remember that they have a life that they have to shuffle. But hey, we'd like to take you out to eat tonight. Why don't you guys come over and give them a gift card too. And I'm not doing this for me. I'm just saying, build a relationship with people. Because then you can invest in the next generation. Wonder if he spent any time with his son Manasseh. Any time. Probably not. Probably gave him to carers to take care of him. So glorify God. Invest in the next generation. God's given you today. What are you going to do with it? My generation needs your wisdom. I do. And I think the men, I could look across this room, and honestly, pretty much everybody in here, I've learned stuff from you. I have. And I thank you for that. You've invested. You know, I look at people that's been in my master's club. I look at people that's been my Sunday school teachers. You've invested in my life. And thank you for that. You know, as a result of that, it more enables me to listen and to take advice. So let's pray this morning. Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, we saw in Hezekiah his 15 years that you gave him extra. Lord, you've given everybody here, at least today. Lord, help us to use it wisely. Help us to invest in the next generation. Help us to glorify you with our lives. We love you in Jesus' name.